At Cheers, everybody knows your name. But what if they don't? Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. If you are into playing games with God, turn off your radio now. This is a program designed to help beggars tell other beggars where they found bread. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
If you have your Bible, thank you, Mike, by the way. I'm looking at the Bible and not thinking about this broadcast, and I have to focus, Brown, just focus. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Obadiah. Incidentally, today is Halloween. All Saints Day is tomorrow, November the 1st. And no, I'm not as uptight about it as a lot of people are. Do you know all the costumes and the stuff of the witches and the stuff is an effort on the part of Christians to make fun of those people who really believe that kind of nonsense? You know, I think it's really good the way some churches have harvest festivals, because there's some bad stuff, and if the teaching doesn't go along with it. But originally, we were making fun of those kinds of things, and we ought to do that today. Satan hates it when Christians make fun of him, and we can. How can we do that? That's 1 John 4:4, because greater is he who is in you, the Holy Spirit sent by the Father and the Son into your life, than he who was in the world. Satan, who's already been slain, the battle has already been finished, and the dragon is dead. Tail still swishes on occasion, but he's dead. But anyway, it's Halloween, and then All Saints Day tomorrow. Just thought you ought to know that I knew that, and that you are properly impressed. Now, we're looking at Obadiah, and if you were listening the last couple of days, we've talked about Obadiah, and I haven't said much about him because we don't know anything about him. We saw, and I gave you a very brief outline, verse 1, there are only 22, 23 verses in this. Verse 1, introductory statement, verse 2 through 14, Edom's judgment, verses 14 through 21, Judah's restoration. And then I said there's some things that are kind of overriding when you read this small book that you can read in 3 minutes. I mean, it's the smallest book in the Old Testament. And that if you can read it, there's some things that come to mind when you read it. And so the thing we saw yesterday is that Obadiah is the symbol of anonymous servants of God throughout the ages, and they're everywhere. Most of you have never heard of the name of Eddie Waxer, but do you know that the world is different because of Eddie's ministry? He's involved in world sports, and I mean he travels the world, and the world is changing. There are kids' games going on now around the world that are involving thousands upon thousands upon thousands of children, even in Islamic nations. And you say, whoa, I didn't know that. No, I know you didn't. And you didn't know about Eddie's ministry, the way he has been involved in the creation of chapels and every professional sports team throughout the country, or the way Eddie has made a difference with testimonies and teaching athletes how to stand up and be counted for Christ. Eddie's done that. He sponsored conferences all over the world, and you've never even heard of Eddie Waxer. And Eddie Waxer doesn't want you to hear of him. He wants you to hear of Jesus. Billy Graham said one time, everywhere I go, I look behind me, and there's Eddie, little Eddie. He's a Jewish believer, and you don't know his name. And that's what Obadiah is about. We know his name, but that's all we know. We don't know where he was born. We don't know where he lived. We don't know what kind of job he had. We know that he was called to be a prophet, and he had a very, very small book. I was reading the other day about how God works. Listen to this. I wish I knew where I got this. I'd give credit. I didn't make it up, and I didn't do the research, but it's really good. In 1858, and you probably know about this, a shoe clerk in Boston by the name of Kimball led a young man to Christ in the back of his store. Now, you don't know anything about Kimball except that he was a shoe salesman. The man he led to Christ was D.L. Moody. Now, Moody became an evangelist, and while preaching in England in 1879, he led another young man to become faithful to the Church of Christ who got saved. That young man's name was Frederick Mayer. Now, Mayer Meyer became a famous preacher. He came to America. He preached on college campuses. And on that college campus, he brought to Christ a student named J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman became involved in YMCA work, and in that work, he employed a man by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday had a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a group of local men were so enthusiastic after that revival, they planned another campaign. And they invited Mordecai Ham to town to preach. In the meetings there, there was a young man, and he received Christ. And his name was Billy Graham. Is that great or what? I love those kind of things, and I find the circuitous route fascinating. But let me ask you something. Do you know the name of person who started it? The person, well, I know Jesus did, but I mean the human person that started it. Who led Kimball, the shoe salesman, at the beginning to Christ? No, it's not a contest. I don't know either. I don't know anybody who knows. I don't know anybody who has any idea who that was. Let me ask you something else. What were the names of the people who, after Billy Sunday, had a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina? Who were those business people who were so caught up in the Spirit of God they decided to have another one and invited Mordecai Ham, who preached the gospel, so Mr. Graham would hear it? No, it's not a contest. I don't know either. Well, when you read the book of Obadiah, it is very important that you see this as a symbol of those anonymous people in the church who vastly affect the world. You probably have said, I want to be faithful and stuff, but my life doesn't count. Or, I'm back here cooking this church dinner and nobody even tells me they like it. Or I've been teaching these little kids and they run around, I don't think they've heard anything that I've said. Or I've been cleaning up this church for years. Or I've been going down feeding the poor in the city. Nobody knows my name. Nobody even cares. It's not going to make any difference. Let me tell you something. You be faithful where God put you. It's not important that people know your name. That's only important that cheers. In the kingdom of God, as long as God knows your name and God's name is glorified, then that's plenty. Now, by way of preliminary observation, I want to take some time to examine the history of Edom. Now, I'm just going to get started with this, but next week, tomorrow Pete will come in, but next week we're going to spend a lot of time looking at Edom. It started with Abraham, and you'll remember that Abraham had two sons. One was Ishmael by Hagar, who was to become the father of the Arab nations, and the other son by Sarah was Isaac. Now, Isaac had two sons, Jacob, Israel, and Esau. And Esau was the founder of the Edomites, about whom the book of Obadiah was written. You say, I didn't know that. Well, I know you didn't. That's why you listen to this broadcast. You learn all kinds of neat stuff that you wouldn't know. Now send a gift. Now, some 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, an incident took place between Esau and Jacob that has literally had repercussions to the present day. Isaac and Rebekah knew there was going to be trouble before it happened. Rebekah was pregnant, and she knew that she had twins. She knew that even in her womb, those twins were not happy in that kind of proximity to one another. She went before the Lord, and the Lord gave her a prophecy. And you'll find that in Genesis 25:23. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born to you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, we don't have the time to go into the conflict, but you need to know that there was one particular incident that was key to everything else. Genesis 25:27-34. The boys grew up. Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a quiet man. He dwelt in the tents. And you will remember that Jacob was also a con artist, and his mother wasn't all that wonderful either. And they conned Esau out of his heritage. Now, I don't have time to make the connection. Well, let me do it just a little bit. That was the beginning, but it got worse. When it came time for Isaac to bless his firstborn, Esau, Rebekah got together with her favorite son, Jacob, and she tricked Isaac into blessing Jacob instead of Esau. Thus the nation of Israel came into existence. Jacob was the father of the sons who were to become the 12 tribes of Israel. And it happened through a lie, trickery, deception. It would have made a gangster proud. Must be said that Esau and Jacob did get together at the funeral of their father Isaac, and prior to that, Jacob made an historic effort to reconcile himself to Esau, but he wasn't able to do it. And the bitterness has remained, and it's remained to this very day. Now, I'm gonna take some time next week to get some practical application out of this. There is a great nation off of both sides of that, and we'll talk about it next week. But remember that in history, whether it's a little act or a big act, it always makes ripples in the lake. It has repercussions that are important. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have our Old Testament survey booklet, part two, Job to Jeremiah, I'd love to send it to you. This is a part of three booklets that will cover the entire Old Testament. So let us know, and as long as supplies last, we'll send it to you. And if you don't have the first one, ask. I think they may be gone, but I'm not sure. And this is part two, Job to Jeremiah. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or you can write Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, M3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And the booklet is absolutely free, and I mean that. But if you can help us financially, I'd be so grateful, and I mean that too. I realize that most of you can't, but if you can, and small gift or a large gift, just be a part of it because you champion other people when you help us financially. And you can charge it on MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, include it in your envelope, and for any contribution of any size when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching the assets of weakness, how to be strong when you're not strong. It's a principle of power. Hey, I gotta go. Give us the call letters of the station when you're right or call. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Networks.